Hey, God bless you. We're the Seepers. We're missionaries to the field of Ghana, West Africa. And let me introduce my wife. I think most of you was here for Sunday school, but anyways, this is my wife. And this is also the prayer card I mentioned. And if you get tired of looking at the front, you can look at the back, and there's more information. But please go by and get one. They're free. We like your praying for us. We know it makes a difference, and it is very true. And so we thank you for allowing us to come present our ministry of church planting. We've been missionaries in Ghana for 11 years. We've been on, really, we surrendered to go to missions in 98 at our missions conference, or 99, and we started a deputation in 2000. And so we've really been at this for about 15 years, going in and out. And we thank the Lord for what He has done. It's a ministry, not just in Africa, but here, speaking the hearts and speaking the churches and challenging them to stick with what God is concerned about. And so we've been there for 11 years. Let me give you a little bit about this. Our first term, we started a Bible study in the city of Sekondi, about 144,000 people there. And then we, our second term, we started a Bible study as an official church. And then our third term, there's been two men that's been with us through most of all the time, 10.5 years there. And we've discipled them and trained them first term, second term, went through Bible school with them. And the third term, a year and a half in our term, we ordained them into the ministry. And it's just a blessing. I hope to see that happen again. And that's what we're looking forward to. And so pray for us. We're headed back the 29th of June. We have our tickets. We're ready. We're missing home. And when I say that, this is home too. And home is always special. But when you're where you got, God wants you, it's special too. And so anyways, pray for us as we'll leave on the 29th. And we also, I don't know what all I was going to say. But anyways, pray for us about that. And a lot of luggage will be going over there. We have, you know, as you go on the airplanes, it's not like it used to be. So you have a limited amount and weight that goes in a certain size of container. And if we got school books. Heard kids are schooled, homeschooled, and so there's a lot of weight that we got to take over, and that's just for 1 year, and it costs us about $5,000 for 1 year. And so pray for us, because the next year we got to get over there somehow, and just a lot of finances. But Lord's never failed us, and He won't yet. So pray for us about that, and we got some school flashcards from Avaca. We tell Bible stories. It's good to have a picture. The eyes affect the heart. And so as we teach the young folks, it helps there. And so pray for us. It's always been good, and God is faithful. So let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, I want to share a passage here and preach in this section. I was in Ghana this last term. I was reading a book, and the book, as I was reading it, came across this one of the verse, or my text verse, and I'll share it with you. And I want to preach on that this morning. Let's start reading in Acts chapter 26 and verse 13. And if I can have you stand as we read the Word of God, and then after that we'll pray, and then we'll be seated. You'll be seated. I won't be seated. But verse 13, the Bible says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love to us. Lord, if you didn't love us, we wouldn't know how to love. And that's what it takes for missions, the love of God. And Lord, help us to serve you and live for you. Help us to grow stronger in our love for you. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone here today that's not saved, that they would come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, thank you for what you've done. I pray you have your will and your way in our lives. And as Christians, you speak to hearts and move in the way you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And thank you. Here in my text verse, the Bible says, to open their eyes and to turn them. To open their eyes and to turn them. I believe God is a God of order. Don't you?
Yeah.
It's not confusion. It's not jibber jabber, which charismatics call tongues today. But God is a God who's decent and orderly. We go all the way back to Genesis, and we can prove that. How do we prove that? Well, we look at the 6 days of creation. On the seventh day, he rested. You know, have you ever thought about if things were turned around a little bit? I thought about this. I thought about how about if God made man on the first day? That'd be interesting. Because the Bible tells us about how the water, the world was full of water. And darkness was on the great of the deep. And so here the Bible is telling us that the world was full. Could you imagine if he created us first? We'd be swimming for a long time. I can't swim that long. For at least a few days. And, you know, if he created us first, it wouldn't be until the third day where he made food. And as teenagers, to most of the teenagers, if you're a teenager, can I see your hand? Did they leave past? Oh, yeah. Do you like eating? Oh, don't tell me that one. I know you do. I have teenagers. I got three of them. And they love eating. Now, Naomi, she's a girl. And so if we turn, I mean, the food will go down real quick. But if you're looking at her, it's a different story. But I mean, teenagers love food. And even Prince and Kwasi, a lot of the folks in Africa that were training, and a lot of them started as, you know, well, they started as infants. But I mean, when we got them, they was teenagers. And so they eat. I mean, they got hollow legs. I mean, it's like they eat and where to go. And so they love eating. So could you imagine if the fruit on the tree didn't come until the third day, but we was created on the first day? Oh, man, when it gets noontime, you're saying, Pastor, it's time to get done and get out of here. And so can you imagine that? A long time. So I'm glad God thought about things are in order. He designed it that way. That's a great thing. God did not make any mistakes, and he still don't make any mistakes. But I want to show you this, and the same thing is in the Bible. The Bible says in verse 18, to open their eyes, comma, and to turn them. Here's what I'm teaching or preaching on this morning is to open their eyes and to turn them. I will never turn people to the Lord if I don't open their eyes. That's the thing that's happening in America, on all over the world. People's eyes are dark. They're blind. and our churches are not opening them. Amen. And because we're not opening them, we're not seeing people get saved. You know, and I want to be careful with this. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift that God gives us as soon as we get saved. But the command to open their eyes was given to Paul, not to the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit helps us do and live our Christian lives. If it wasn't for Him, we couldn't do what needs to be done. We can't live the Christian life without Christ, without God. Without God working in our hearts and life. But I want you to understand, a lot of times we want to push our responsibilities off on something else or make excuses about it. And the truth is, it's our responsibility. Amen. It's our job to open their eyes. And I want to show you a few things here that's important. I'm going to show you about three men that God that's in the sermon that I've got here. But I want to, first, as we go, this is an account of King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. It's about the Apostle Paul, and he got saved in Acts chapter 9. But he's given testimony. Amen. Everybody who goes on visitation to soul winning, anywhere you go, in workplace or wherever, if you're saved, you got a testimony. You can give that. You can soul win. And here, the Bible tells us about how that Paul, he has been persecuted and tried, and even to the place up going up to Acts 26, people wanted to pull him apart for preaching the Word of God. But God in His providence and God in His way has preserved him all the way through. And now he's at King Agrippa, and we're not finished with it. Maybe tonight I'll preach on Acts chapter 27. But the Bible tells us about King Agrippa and how King Agrippa said, "Hey, Paul, I want you to give answer. I want you to tell us what's happening." I'm saying it in my words. But the Apostle Paul says, "I'm grateful. I'm glad I finally get to answer for myself." It's a great thing when people speak to you, they don't really speak all the things that you want to say or need to say. And so here, the Apostle Paul, he said, "Thank you. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity to speak to myself or for myself." But here, I want to show you something. In Acts chapter 9, let's flip over there real quickly. In Acts chapter 9, the Bible is telling us about the same account. And this is the actual place where he got saved. But look at verse 5. And there's two words, verse 5 and verse 6, or there's one word that's mentioned a few times. And the word is Lord. The Bible says, "And he," in verse 5, "and he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?'" Okay, this is after Paul has been put on the ground because the great light that's greater than the sun shone on him from heaven. And so Paul on the Damascus Road was put on the ground. Why? Because the Lord put him there. Okay? The Bible tells us that he recognized the Lord as Lord. Here's what it's saying here. In verse 5, it says, "And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.'" And so here, he's calling him Lord. Why? Because he's figuring out that this man, or reverently, this person is greater than I am. He's put me in my place. There's a lot of people in the world that know God in that manner. And that's a healthy thing. That's a good thing. There's a lot of people in the world today that's not thinking that way. But the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So here, Paul is figuring out that he is Lord. He's above all, he's mighty. He's all-powerful. But look here at verse 6. The Bible says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?'" I believe he got saved between verse 5 and verse 6. Why? Because salvation is a heart change. When he called the Lord the first time in verse 5, he recognized him as Almighty. When he called him Lord in verse 6, he recognized him as the one that he gave his life to. He surrendered all to. And so here, when someone gets saved, I believe that the Lord should become the Lord of our lives. Yes. And when He becomes the Lord of our lives, things change. When you get saved, things change. And so here, I recognize those things. But look at this in verse 8, as we find out this. And this is something I was looking at the other day and a few months ago, and I thought, wow, this is great. You know, the Bible is a living book.
Yes.
It's not dead. It's alive. I mean, every time I read it, I get more things out of it than I already read it. And so the Bible tells us in verse 8, the Bible says, "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man." Well, his eyes were open. How can he not see anybody? Well, because he was blind. Physically, he was blinded by that light. But his eyes were open. His eyes of understanding were open, although he saw no man. You know, when the Lord comes in our lives, we start to understand. Things change. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. When he got saved, he started seeing. He started to understand. Although his physically, that day he couldn't. But he started to understand. So I want you to see this. If we're going to win people to the Lord, their eyes must be open so we can turn them. I want to preach that. That's my title. If we're going to win people to the Lord, their eyes must be open so we can turn them. Their eyes must be open so we can turn them. So the Bible tells us here, and I find here, not only the Apostle Paul, his eyes were open, but I find here, let's go back to 26, Acts chapter 26. I want to show you something else that's very important, not only about the Lord of our lives, but also about the liberty in our lives. I want to show you this. At the end of chapter 26, the Bible says something very, very interesting. In verse 30, the Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken," talking about Paul, when Paul got finished speaking and giving his testimony and giving his defense, he said, "The king rose up, King Agrippa, and the governor and Barnabas, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, 'This man does nothing worthy of death or of bonds.'" And that's right. But look what it says in verse 32. "Then said Agrippa unto Festus, 'This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar.'" Now let's understand something. What the world says liberty is not liberty. What King Agrippa said, I understand because of reason. But what King Agrippa said doesn't match with Revelation. God told Paul, "You're going to Caesar." God organized these things and allowed these things to happen. And guess what? Liberty was, and liberty is for each one of us, is when we decide, "Lord, I'm your prisoner. I give my life to you." That's liberty. Paul had more liberty speaking to the king, going in front of the governor, telling important people the most important message. That's liberty. And only God can put you there.
Yes.
And so here, true liberty is what I want to show you here today. And then not only when the Lord becomes the Lord of your life, that you have true liberty because you've surrendered your life to Him. And so here, the world's interpretation of liberty and what they say, all your career, all this or that, if you just do this, you'll be able to free yourself up for retirement. Well, there's a lot of things that the world just not adding into that equation. And that's God. That's the Lord. And so anyways, the first person that we have found out is here. Their eyes must be open to turn them. And so we see the Apostle Paul, his eyes getting open. And that was through salvation. So the first person we speak about is the Apostle Paul. This next thing that I want to show you is another man. And the Bible tells us their eyes must be open to turn them. If we're going to win them to the Lord, their eyes must be open to see the wrong way. Well, you say, whoa, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what I'm going to say. The Bible tells us here that as Christians, the world will never see the wrong way if the world don't see the right way. We as churches have dropped that ball. Every time we come back on furlough, I see churches getting farther and farther away from what's right, from what's of Bible, what's of God. I think of worship. They've taken on the term the world has given worship. You saw it on the slides. There were people waving their hands. You saw it where people speak tongues or jibber-jabber. That's what it is. It's not biblical tongue. And so all that stuff goes on. And people who don't read and study the Word of God, and churches and people who don't tell and present and persuade people, guess what? Those people start getting a tingle down their back and they think it's God. They're mystical. They're superstitious. People by nature. And so here, that's what's happening in America. Can you imagine this? When we go to Africa, a lot of the countries say, wow, that's a great country. And these last 7 years, it's been bad. When we go to Africa and we're there to minister to them, and then you got them doing all this crazy stuff, the charismatics too, and you say, why are you doing that? Well, we saw it on American TV. That hits. So, wow, what influence we have. And we're given the wrong impression. Doing the wrong thing. We need to get out there. We need to show them the truth. So why? We need to show them the wrong way. You know, when we go to churches, or we've gone to some churches. I had this one church in Norwalk. You might know where Norwalk is. It's on the way to Hope. And Toledo. So Norwalk, we went to this church, and I called them up and a few times and tried to get home. They had a new pastor. The older pastor had cancer. He had to go. So the new pastor was there, and right before I left the last time, I thought he's going to turn some things around and get things going again. And they used to support us. But this time I called him up and told him I'd like to stop by. That's what I was going to tell him. But he wouldn't answer the phone. I left the messages, and I called and called him. Of course, I'm a missionary, so a pastor say, well, I've heard him before. So some of that was in my mind. I thought, well, maybe that's it. So I just drop in. So I dropped in one Sunday because I was headed to Michigan for Sunday evening service. And Sunday school went fine. And he's teaching on Thessalonians, and I thought, wow, that's good. And then we got to Sunday church. You know, then these ladies started coming up here on the platform, and they all had their music stand, and they was starting to sing Amazing Grace in a different tune. And the pastor is over there playing the piano, electric piano, in a different way. And I thought, wow, we're taking on what the world says worship is. Mm-hmm. Worship is through obedience. Look over in Matthew chapter 20. You don't turn it, but Matthew chapter 28 talks about obedience. As soon as they obeyed that angel, that's worship. When they saw Jesus Christ, they worshiped him. Then the disciples, later on, they worshiped him. Why? Because all stemmed from obedience. That's where worship is. That's where worship comes from. So anyways, that's extra. The first thing that I want to tell you here is if we're going to win people to the Lord, if we're going to open their eyes, they need to be open to see the wrong way. Don't adapt, church. Don't adapt to what the world's definition of liberty is. Don't adapt to what the world says worship is. Let's go back to the Bible. That's where the answer is at. Let's look at this over in Numbers chapter 22. In Numbers chapter 22, I want to show you about another man. And we know about him in Acts chapter, or Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. I want to show you a few verses. The Bible tells us in verse 23. Numbers 22, 23. The Bible says, "And the ass saw." I'm going to just say that few words. In verse 25, the Bible says, "And when the ass saw." In verse 27, the Bible says, "And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, he fell down under Balaam." We understand this story. This story is about the donkey that Balaam was riding. And Balaam was going to curse Israel. Could you imagine that? Wow. People do that, don't they? Shame. And here's what's happening with Balaam. Balaam was going to curse Israel because Balak, the king of Moab, wants him to do that. Yeah, these people are dangerous to him. All the people around are afraid of this little small dot on the map called Israel. And it's still today. They got a mighty God. They got a God who belongs to them. And so here, the Bible tells us about how Balaam, he was going to curse him. But here in this story, we find out that the animals are smarter than he is. And so the donkey starts to talk. I mean, but every time, here's what I wanted to show you. Every time their eyes were opened, the Bible says in verse 28, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass," or the donkey. And the Bible tells us how that donkey started speaking and said, "Balaam, what are you doing? Why are you hitting me? What have I done?" And then let's look at another thing. The Bible says in verse 31, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw." He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in the hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. When we start to see the truth, when we start to understand, our demeanor will change. This is what happened to Balaam. He didn't see. And the donkey, he saw. But the donkey, every time he saw, he churned. So what am I getting at? I'm getting at the point, if we don't open their eyes, they're not going to churn. We must open their eyes. And so here, Balaam, he got his eyes open, and his demeanor changes. In verse 32, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because," here it is, "because thy way is perverse before me." Listen, as a Christian, if our way is not what God's way is, it's an abomination. It's a false balance. It's perverse before the Lord. It doesn't matter about if it's a murder, which is major, or a lie. They're the same. It's perverse. It's wrong. We as churches need to stay strong. Don't attempt what the world is telling us. Don't take that. Don't be perverse. Here, why? Because the world needs to see what's wrong. The world is never going to see what's wrong if we don't show them what's right. Amen. Our church of 30 people in Ghana, I mentioned that, is very significant in the fact of people see the difference. I give you a testimony shortly. Is one of our pastor, our national pastor there, Prince, was gone, I think, this time or last time. I forget which time it was. But there's a young lady that comes to our church. She got saved in 2007. Then her sister started coming, and her sister got saved in 2010. Then her mom started coming, not just coming on special occasions. And so sometimes she would come. But you know, one day, the grandma wanted to talk to Prince. So Prince was talking to her about getting saved, about salvation. And they didn't finish the conversation. That was on Saturday. But that evening, God allowed her to end up going to the hospital for some reason. All that night, she thought about hell. And she thought about our preacher. I need to talk to him. I need to talk to him. Sunday afternoon after church, Prince went to her because she requested Prince to come. Not her own pastor. Not her facade of religion. But our man. God's man. And he spoke, told her about it. She got saved that day. Amen. But why? Because the world has seen a difference in the lives of what a true Christian is. Not just the facade. Not just the makeup. And so it's important. That's what's going to be effective in our families. That's what's going to be effective in our lives today. Most effective. It's not knocking on doors necessary. I think knocking on doors is great. But they want to see the change. When they see the change, we open their eyes and we'll turn them. And so here the Bible tells us about the Balaam, that the man here who was perverse before the Lord. And I could go on and go on. And this is a bigger sermon than I'm going to cut all that out. But in chapter 24, you'll see the man who, Balaam says, the man whose eyes have been opened. I mean, there's a whole bunch there. But I'm going to show you about the third man. The third man. Let's go over to John. In John chapter 9. So here we find out that their eyes must be open to turn them. Their eyes must be open. If we're going to win them to the Lord, their eyes must be open to see what's wrong. Secondly, their eyes must be open to see the difference between darkness and light. Between darkness and light. In John chapter 9, the Bible tells us about a blind man. A man who was born blind. And the disciples said to Jesus, whose fault was this? Was it his? Was it his parents? And the Lord said, no. His blindness is so that I would be manifested. I would be made known. A lot of times God brings in our lives things. But they are so he is known. They are for him to be known. Tonight I'm going to preach something that I don't usually preach. I'll preach something. But anyways, the thing I want to show you here is this man, he's blind. And the Bible tells us about three people in this story, or three groups in this story. One is the neighbors. The second one is the religious. And the third one is the parents. The first time, I find in verse 8, in chapter 9, John 9, in verse 8, the Bible says, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seven, which had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. I am he. And there the Bible tells us, that people started asking, how did your eyes, how did you start seeing? So he gave testimony about what happened. The Lord worked in his life. And he could see. And you know what? Here's one of the things I want to mention. Here is we need to open their eyes, the world's eyes, to see the difference between darkness and light. You know, a lot of times the world's words are kind. But they're just like Satan in the garden. Eve. You want to be as smart as God? And it appeals to our flesh. Wow, yeah. I want to be lifted up. I want to be high. I want to be important. It appeals to our flesh. So the world, it takes on what the neighbors say or what the world will say in their definition of kindness. So let's look at this, the kindness. They was kind to this man. But not really. Not really. The Bible tells us something else, and how do I know they were not kind to this man? The Bible says in verse 13, they brought to the Pharisee him that aforetime was blind. Why did they do that? Not because they wanted to give testimony. Look, we Lord did. No, they wanted to get him kicked out of the temple. So the world, just like in Proverbs, it says to the psalmist, or in Proverbs, Solomon said, hey, watch out. The king's dainties the king's meat, put a knife to your throat if you're given to appetite. What is it saying? You better control it. You better watch out. It's not just what you see. You see the dainties and you, oh, you want some? Well, they're speaking kindly. Their face says one thing, but their heart is saying something else. That's what the world offers everyone. And that's the same with religion. They offer something facade, some false thing. And so the kindness of the first thing that I saw is the world's kindness is not the kindness that God gives us and the love that we as Christians should be showing. And so here, the second person I find in here is we need to open their eyes to see the difference between darkness and light. Why? I see that the neighbors, they represent the world who's a facade. It's not true. It's not actual. Don't believe them. Number two, I find the religious people, they're hypocrites. They're hypocritical. They're spiritual, but they're hypocritical. Or they're, you understand here, the Bible tells us about these men. These and Romans chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible tells us about how the Lord was condemning the religious Jew. The Pharisee said, hey, you judge these people for breaking the law, but you yourselves do that. That's what religion does. They speak, but they don't do. The Lord said, be hearer of the word, but also a doer of the word. And so here the Bible tells us about that we need to let them see the difference between light and darkness, the darkness of the world and the light of the Lord. And so here the third person that I find in verse 15 was the second one. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how had he received his sight? He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and I washed and I do see. So he told them the truth. But here, let's look at the parents. In verse 20, the Bible says, his parents, the Pharisees asked his parents what happened. And his parents gave an answer, answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Why were they doing that? Because the world can't stand under pressure. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul was addressing those at Corinth, he said, the gospel that I gave you, I've received, and I told you about, and you received, it's also what you stand on. It's what you stand on. Christians, the day is coming where the true Christian is going to have to stand. You remember that game show? Will the real Troy stand? Okay, well, it's coming to that. Will the real Christian stand? We're going to be faced with that. Why? Because the homosexuals and everybody's getting the rights. The wrongs, but they're getting the rights according to the opinion of the Supreme Court or higher powers, but not according to God. We can stand on the Word of God. And so here the Christian tells us here, the Bible tells us to open their eyes. We need to open their eyes to turn them. We need to open their eyes to see the wrong way. We need to open their eyes to see the difference between darkness and light. Thirdly, I want to mention here, we need to open their eyes to see the difference between what is of God and what is not of God. Let's look over this. I love this passage. Let's go to John 9, where we're at, and verse 27. The Bible says, he answered them. The blind man answered the intelligent Pharisees, the learned Pharisees. And he said, he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? The Pharisees didn't like that. Then they reviled him, the Bible says in verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Listen. That's all right when the world starts recognizing who you are. It's all right. They can be Moses' disciple. We're going to be God's disciple. We're going to follow him. We're going to follow the Lord. But here's another thing the Bible says in verse 29. The Bible says, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, meaning Christ, we know not from whence he is. And here's something this man said. I love this verse. Verse 30, the Bible says, the man answered, the blind man, the stupid blind man, and said to the intelligent Pharisees, why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Wow. Christian, where's the evidence? The evidence will speak for you. That's what this blind man said. Look, you don't know who God is? He opened my eyes. You try it. and the response from these guys was, hey, who are you? You're a beggar. You're a blind man. But here's what I like. The Lord is the best GPS there is. He got kicked out of the temple. In verse 35, the Bible says, Jesus answered, heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now let's understand this. He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Remember what I said over in Acts about Paul recognizing the Lord as Lord Almighty? In verse 5, that's exactly what this blind man realized. This man healed me. This man is mightier than everybody else. But he still didn't understand everything. So he knew he was Lord. He knew he was Almighty. But look, let's go on. And he says, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? In verse 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both, and here's our word, seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Wow. When their eyes are open, they'll turn. Amen. We saw that truth in Paul. We saw that truth in the donkey. We saw that truth in Balaam. And we see that truth in the blind man. Listen, are we opening people's eyes? If we're not where we ought to be in our spiritual life, I'll change it today. Why? So we can turn them. So they can get saved. That's what God's concerned with. He's concerned that none should perish. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask this question. Is there someone in here that could say, Pastor, brother, if I would die today, I'm not sure if I would go to heaven. If you don't know where you would spend eternity, can I see your hand? That's what the Lord is concerned about. He wants to know where you're going. He wants you to know where you're going. Heaven is for you if you'll receive Christ as your Savior. Is there someone here today who can say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I will go to, if I'll go to heaven or not. If you're like that, can I see your hand? I'll pray for you. Okay. Second question I would like to ask this. If you're here and you're saved, can I see your hand? Praise the Lord. Thank you. This message, you can put your hands down. This message was preached primarily to you. Why? Because the world, their eyes need to be open so we can turn them. If God spoke in your heart, if God spoke in your heart some way, some fashion, I don't know how the Lord works, but I know that He's working. If God's spoken to your heart, can I see your hand? I'll pray for you. Amen. Thank you for this hand. Thank you for this hand. All over. Thank you. We're going to have invitation. And why don't you come? God's speaking to you. You speak to Him. We're going to have invitation. So let's go ahead and stand. As we stand, we'll have invitation. We're going to pray first, and then the pastor will take it. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, there might be someone here that's not saved, doesn't know for sure where they're going to spend eternity. I pray that we come today and get that solved. But Lord, I also pray for those who raised their hand and said, I'm a Christian. I've accepted Christ. I remember that day. Lord, I pray for them as they raised their hand and said, you spoke to them. Lord, I pray that you would have your will in their lives. Lord, I pray that maybe they would see what real liberty is. And Lord, as we know a lot of things, but sometimes as we, the longer we're in this world, we start adapting to what the world tells us over and over and over. Sometimes I've heard this where we're told a lie long enough, we start to believe it. Lord, help us to stay faithful in the Word of God. Stay fresh with your definition. Lord, have your will in your way. Pray that we see true liberty, and pray that we would see truly you being the Lord of our lives. Have your will in your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.